This is the public safety meeting for October 4th, 2018 at 6 p.m. We have a quorum of all four aldermen present. We'll start with the minutes for approval for 4-5-18 and 7-5-18. Are there any comments or modifications for the minutes? All right. All those voice vote approving minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the minutes are approved. So we'll move on to Public Safety 2018-14, which is our police report from August to October 2018. Any questions for the chief on any other reports or data provided?
I'm good.
There's a lot of them. Nothing really jumps out.
They're done in two sets, basically, right? So, just looking at it, the one thing I wanted to look at and see, and I know this only goes through August on our hours. It looks like we're kind of even keel, consistent. We haven't had any spikes or anything with our staffing.
We're having a little bit lately. The next report you probably get down the road will show a little more.
September.
Yeah, that was to be expected. We're actually three officers down now, and it's not as high as I thought it would be, to be honest with you. I thought we'd be a little higher.
So is that just the ability for people flexing their time and making sure that we're not? My concern is always burnout.
Yeah.
Officers getting burnout or anything like that there, but it looks like this report is fine.
I think there's a little bit of it right now. They're working harder. They're taking more calls. There's less free time to be expected. We're just getting through our vacation times. Everybody's taking vacation and stuff and kind of getting back to normal. So we'll kind of see how the holiday season coming up with Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, how that starts affecting the overtime. But,
so with being three officers down, what's the status of that?
We just had a Board of Fire Police Commissioner meeting this morning.
This morning, right.
Yeah, we closed out. We had been accepting our applications. We had closed that out earlier, I think Monday. And we had 104 applications came in. We had, I believe, eight of them that got rejected because of not enough information.
Deficiencies on
there. Yeah, deficiencies on their end. So Wednesday is going to be the written test day at the middle school, and they will, from there, they are going to interview the top 30 applicants on the written test, and then we'll begin on background. So our hope is to have two or three people hired by mid-December for an early January Academy Day.
So we have...
Yeah.
How many officers do you want out of this?
Probably three.
Okay. Do we have that budgeted?
Yes, they're all budgeted. Yeah, these are just strictly
really budgeted. Is it advantageous to go four?
Well,
the condition that one might not make the cut.
And that's what I'm trying to do. And that was something that we were trying to put in the budget because it seems like we're always one officer down.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect example when an officer does retire or leave to go elsewhere or whatever happens, it takes 10 months to a year to get a And so I was going to try to get one person extra just for that purpose.
That's why I'm wondering, is it beneficial for us to suggest a four? Put them through. I mean, if we can do it.
Well, I know
on the budget amendment to get a fourth one in case one does drop, that puts us even again to where we were.
I know towards the end, when we get into additional business, I was going to bring up some budget projections hoping for.
Okay.
And maybe we'll talk if you want to bring that down to additional business.
Yeah, we can do that.
Absolutely.
That works.
All right. Public Safety 2018-15 adjudication reports for April through September. I know some of these were discussed in EDC. Does anybody have any comment or input? All right. So let's get to the meat on the bone here. Public Safety 2018-16 Liquor Court Amendment Employment of Minors.
This was a language issue they wanted to tidy up to kind of make it the even keel around the board. With the mandatory BASA training for everybody that they do online now, I don't really have a problem with it. You see some of the smaller businesses, when you got to go get somebody 21 to bring a beer out to a person, I understand why they did that and they used to do that and stuff. I just think, you know, we're training them now. They're forced to do training and stuff. I don't see a problem with the waitress or, you know, the waiter that's 18 or 19 years old bringing their beer out to somebody.
Wouldn't this also apply to, like, a cashier?
Cashiers, waiter, because waitresses already have the
exception. Well, you're right. Waiters and waitresses already have it.
Right.
Cashiers don't.
Right.
So that was the thing we were just going to
equalize it across the city.
Yeah, you're right. I had it backwards. Yeah, I had it the other way around.
The one thought I'm okay with this. We reviewed this before. The language makes sense. You know, I think Steve and I, we said, as long as it's consistent, it makes sense. Either raise it or lower it. I don't want to put a bunch of kids out of work. You know.
And this doesn't prevent businesses from creating their own policy.
Yeah.
Right. It says some of your people can't do that.
Yeah.
Some stores like Jewel and probably Target are probably going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
But that's their choice.
Are we going to, if this passes, are we then going to inform these license holders that the ordinance is passed and 18-year-olds can't bring it up and sell it?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to do that. I think every current liquor license holder we have, with the exception of one, have all provided email addresses, so it's very simple for me to even compose an email and email it out to all of them.
Okay.
So, I'm happy to do a written mailing as well, if that's your preference.
An email would be
sufficient. I think a standard email stock letter to everybody is sufficient. And I do have one question, one somewhat concern. The fact that there's a clause down here does not apply to the possession by a person under the age of 21 years making a delivery of an alcoholic liquor. Are they allowed to, say, a delivery person for a pizza make a delivery of alcoholic beverages?
Right now, no. Right, we would have to create a special. We talked about this, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
But is it something that it could be interpreted, since we're lowering that? Mm-hmm. You know, but if you read that language, it sounds like it could loosely be interpreted that way. So could it?
Yeah, but as far as I understand...
Well, now you got groceries being delivered, too.
Right. We got groceries being delivered, but from what I understand, they can't deliver alcohol.
I know they are in Oswego.
And so can a minor then takes a package and deliver that?
I'm just trying to remember back, Lisa, when we did. We talked about this 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, and I know they've kind of changed some laws, and liquor delivery is becoming a thing that some communities are looking into. Mm-hmm. So off the top of my head, I think we'd have to check the state law. I know that Kathy's office drafted this language in the ordinance. So
that's just my one question and concern, is does it inadvertently allow that?
I would say keep that 121 if it does become something that...
Right, or maybe it's a simple sentence that's added here that's on-premise delivery only, so that it clarifies our line. Because the way it reads is making a delivery of alcoholic liquor in the course of his employment. It doesn't have a stipulation of where that is. I mean, if their employment is a delivery...
Peapod.
They then can be going, well... Somebody, I don't want to drive out and get a beer. I'm going to have
to let them do that. Yeah.
You're talking like how Walmart offers your grocery pickup now?
Yeah.
Where they bring it to you at curbside?
Yeah. I get it.
Well, like, you know, now which pizza place will deliver downtown?
I would see the curbside delivery like Walmart, where they just bring it out to you. You pull up here and they bring it to your car.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see that as like a real delivery.
No, but I have Target delivers them to my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I saw a Jewel. Like,
Any of our
Meijer. Some people from Yorkville will order from Meijer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Jewel in front of Jewel a while back, a Jewel delivery vehicle. It was like a small box truck with like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Because
then you can take that and you can take it to the smaller restaurants that we have. If they want to say, hey, instead of carry out, we'll offer delivery, and hey, we'll throw in a six pack for you as well. You know, and then they're delivering that.
Yeah, I said rather than call in the six pack and get it to drive and go get it.
Well, yeah, it's. Is that the intent?
I thought, we'd have to look into it, but I really thought that, we had to have a special ordinance for delivery of alcohol. Because remember, we had somebody approach us about that.
Right. But I think, I thought I recently heard that the state is letting the municipalities enact regulations if they want delivery by businesses. So.
Because I know it does happen in Oswego. I know a lady that does it and has delivered alcohol.
Could be. I know other communities have. Yeah. Because that's what brought this up. Somebody actually inquired. I can't remember. They wanted to even not have a storefront. They wanted to just deliver a liquor.
And so, if we, I mean,
keg, everything from kegs to everything.
Having a delivery service isn't a problem. Yeah. The question comes up: do we want the minor transporting that?
I would say no.
That's really what it is. Is we want the minor trans. I don't have any issue with somebody delivering it to my door as a service. I'll pay for that.
When Mama wants wine, Mama gets wine.
Exactly.
Right?
It doesn't matter how. Minor delivering it.
It's a matter of do we want the minor doing it.
And to me, 3314 is confusing.
Yes.
The way it's written right now, I can't figure out what you guys are trying to say. I really can't. It is a little confusing.
Well, and I can see where you guys are going with this and looking at this. So I'm wondering... before we move forward with this, I can confer with Kathy and see what the intent is. But then, as a separate issue, is the committee wanting us to also look into delivery as a separate thing to bring back?
Well, I think it has to be addressed eventually, because everybody's delivering now.
Mm-hmm.
We got to address it, otherwise it's just going to be, well, I didn't know, or there's no ordinance.
Right.
Or, so it's got to be addressed. And my position, I don't know about this, but my position is, I don't mind an 18-year-old serving in a restaurant, scanning it at the counter, doing all that, but I mind an 18-year-old driving around with booze in his car to deliver.
Okay.
That's too much.
True, that point, say a special event downtown where... You know, you have a group pouring beers, they're still allowed to do that.
Yes, that's serving. That's like I say like a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, and then you're more likely to have a
white liquor license. You're leaving the site of business, I get that.
Yes, and that's
somebody
kind of
that's adult enough should be there.
Yeah, delivery to off-site premises is prohibited. By a minor.
By a minor.
Right, I mean that makes two snatches.
By someone under 21, not a minor.
Yeah, you're right. Someone under 21.
Understandable.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we need to address it.
Do you just want to make a language adjustment and then go forward, or what do you want to do?
I think we should clarify 3314 to say what we want it to say.
Right.
And I think we should add another section specifically for the delivery of
alcohol to off-site.
To off-site.
Yeah, off-site delivery of alcohol shall be prohibited by those under 21.
Right.
That's our intent. That's what we want.
Right, so if Meijer's sending out 19-year-olds to deliver their groceries with beer and alcohol, they're going to get a ticket.
Yeah, if anything else needs to change to mirror that, that's where Kathy's
too hard at.
Maybe we'll bring it back.
Right. Just get a Juul name tag and drive around with beer in your car. Well, I work for Juul. I'm just delivering it.
Right.
Exactly.
Or you call your buddy.
Want a beer?
Hey,
what are those open
put
to
it
there?
In over the internet.
Those are refused at the
I'll send it to you.
Right.
That one's a little too easy.
I got approached in Chillicothe at a gas station a couple years back. They have a big weed fest thing out there. It's north of Peoria. And I was getting gas. And like a 19-year-old kid walked up to me. You know when you go to like a Cubs game? And they had to sell the hot dogs. They had the big tray with the strap around it. He had a big tray with weed in all the different compartments. It actually walked up to me at the gas station. I'm like, no, man, get away from me. But I could see that with beer. Somebody walking around like a event downtown. Anybody want to buy a beer?
Yeah, it might be more popular than the hot dog guy.
Yeah, tell me about it.
There were people lining up. You know, I was like he pulled up and got out of the vehicle next to me when I was getting gas. And I was the first person he hit. And I ran inside and came out. I was telling the lady, I'm like, you're not going to believe this. And she was rolling her eyes. She goes, yeah, this is just craziness. And there were people like in line behind him when I got out. You know, she goes, he's just making his money to get to the next location on tour.
That's fun.
Pretty soon we're going to have bicycles with baskets on the side going up and down 47 selling beers.
Yeah.
But based on our agenda today, the bicycle will not be registered. All right. Is that it for that one then? Do you have clear direction or you need any?
Yes, I have clear direction.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Public Safety 2018-17 Liquor Code Amendment, the waiver of the 100-foot restriction to churches and schools, thanks to Governor Rauner. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. That's kind of an antiquated provision. I don't have a problem with it.
Especially now we've got schools popping up in business areas, you know, like private schools and things. So.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem.
Personally,
to the discretion of the liquor commissioner, I mean.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not going to support it. Oh.
No?
No. I like the separation. I do. I mean, most of our liquor stores that we have or places of that sort are clean cut, but you get some instances where they're not as clean cut. I don't necessarily want them right next to one of those two uses. I like a little separation. I would prefer it.
Some churches serve alcohol, right?
Depends on what denomination.
I saw a Catholic church in Aurora one time that had a bar in its basement.
St. Pat's has a bar.
Yeah.
St. Pat's has a bar.
Does it?
In Yorkville.
Oh, yeah. It's got the what you call it, the community room, or the...
it's got a bar.
Yeah.
Oh, a liquor bar. Absolutely.
Yeah, so how do they get away with
that? It's not a for-sale product. Since you're contracting for a catering service, that's how they do that.
So as long as you're catered, you're full.
Yeah.
All right, so do we have three yeses to get it out of here?
Yeah.
All right, so we got three yeses to get out of here. Do we throw it on, I assume, just consent? You want to talk about it?
No,
if you're going to pull it, we'll just put it on.
Just don't put it on consent.
Okay, let's just put it on.
Yeah,
it
vote no.
All right, let's just put it on public safety then.
Yeah. And we don't have to waste your time.
We don't have to amend the agenda. All right, public safety 2018-18. Licensing requirement for resale dealers.
This is in reference to we had a box store asked if they could start bringing electronics to give out gift cards. And the issue we have seen in other communities is all the stolen stuff will go there. Phones, any kind of little electronic device, and they'll give them gift card rebates on them. We just want to extend our ordinance so that they have to register those with us.
The only concern I have is, and I think I was the only one who voted against the ordinance, right, for the registration.
Yeah.
So I wasn't a big fan of it. The only concern I have after I read it was, I mean, if we remove that 35% threshold, then, I mean, if you have a business that takes in one piece of electronic in the year, they got to register as a reseller. And, you know, I didn't like it at 35%. But I get what you're trying to do because of Target. So, I mean, is there any way we can change the criteria instead of it being 35% of your sales? Because 35% of Target sales is quite a bit of money.
Right.
We leave it at 35%, but if you're a realtor who has in excess of $1 million in gross sales per year, you're also under that umbrella or something like that.
Okay.
So the small business doesn't get caught in that loophole of, now I got to register too, even though I only bring in 5% of my revenue. But if you're a big box that makes over $1 million in revenue a year, you're also caught. Something like that. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to catch the little fish with the big fish when we throw the net out. That's
right. I mean, this is going to catch Goodwill.
Right?
Goodwill will be caught up in this. They will become part of this because they do take in and resell electronics.
They do, but they don't pay for those items when they take them in. So
there's no...
I believe Goodwill is currently exempt because they're not paying you when you bring them in. You know, so that way if you bring in, everything they take is free.
But is it clear that there has to be something that's purchased? Because, if you know, when you look through some of the definitions in here...
Right. No, Goodwill is exempt. The thrift shops that do not pay, it's when they're like pawn shops. And
is that
the one on 47 one in Schoolhouse? Like, that's the...
They are exempt.
That's the one with...
carrying hands.
Carrying hands
across. Yeah, if you're giving out money for monetary
compensation
for those items, then they have to...
Is their exemption just not listed in the part we have here?
Well...
Because I can see... That's what made me think of it. It might be in another section, but it's not in...
I'll get it here.
Okay.
But I know those items are exempt. I know that for a fact.
Okay.
What page?
Their coupon doesn't count?
What do you mean?
Goodwill sometimes hands you a coupon for turning stuff in for 10% off of, like, at Kohl's or something.
Yeah, they
that catch
will.
Them up?
That might be a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know that they will do that. I've received them.
Yeah,
for
they have it, like, once or twice a year.
Yeah. Because then you're actually receiving something in exchange. It's one thing just to make the donation. Good point. I mean, mean, their exemption may be kind of caught in a loophole.
Right. To no fault of their own.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't think most people have time to take their stand. Just give it to Google to get a 10% off Kohl's thing.
Right. I just don't want to snag all the lid off.
Right.
I mean, I don't like the artist to begin with, but it passed. I just don't want it. We don't have the votes to repeal it.
You do.
Otherwise, I would. Okay, find three more people.
So this one, the kind of the contention is, you know, on this one where it was 35%, now we're dropping it to zero.
I don't want to.
And then the other issue, if you go the other way, though, if you raise that threshold, because this is what we're really talking about, is the electronic sale and gift card sale. If we move that threshold the other way to a higher percentage.
Well, you're never going to catch anybody.
No,
you're never going to catch Target. That's the goal is they want to catch Target. If we move the percentage up, Target's not going to make 35% of their revenue from people turning in their cell phones. Target's not going to make 1% of the revenue turning in cell phones.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
If we were to lower the threshold to 1%, Target's still not going to qualify because there's no way that 1% of their revenue is coming from people turning stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. So by lowering it to zero so we can snag Target, we snag everybody else, and that's the problem.
Here it is right here. It's any individual firm, corporation, or partnership engaged in the business of operating a business for profit which buys, sells, possesses, or consignment for sale. Buys, you know, Goodwill does not buy it.
Oh, no, but it says buy, possesses.
Yeah.
Right.
Or profit.
Possesses on consignment.
Aren't they in consignment for profit?
But they're ors, aren't they?
They are. See, all you need is one of them.
Yeah, it says...
boom, boom, boom,
it
or
says,
boom.
It says, business for profit, which buys, sells, possesses on consignment for sale, or trades jewelry, stamps, gift cards, coins, audio, video equipment, electronic equipment of any type, or any precious metals which may be used, which may have been previously owned by a consumer.
I assume Goodwill's a 503, right there?
Yeah.
Officially not for profit. Right?
I looked them up, but I would assume somebody would have said
that. Well, I mean,
right,
you know what happens when you assume, right?
Right.
So.
Right, yeah, I think the key word is which buys, sells. You know, they're not buying anything. Caring Hands isn't buying anything.
Well, they're not really doing it for a profit either.
Right.
Well, I think Caring Hands probably works under the church's tax exemption.
Right.
Yeah, Goodwill is listed as a 501c3, so yeah, they have a legitimate number there. So.
Yeah, I think the key word is which buys.
But I like your idea of lowering it to zero, making it like $1 million.
Well, don't lower it to zero.
Don't?
No, leave it at
35%. And then make it a
million. Or you have gross annual sales in excess of $1 million.
All right.
You know?
I'm okay with that.
Sounds like a Chicago exemption.
No, it's actually a Chicago hook.
I know.
It's not an exemption. It's a hook.
It's the other
it's
way.
It's the opposite.
It's what
we're hooking the
suburbanites do to...
Right. Any county with a population of over 3 million residents is exempt from this ordinance,
or
this law.
Or between 400 and 500,000 for...
Right.
Yeah, we know who they're exempting.
So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on something like that?
I'm okay with it.
Because it would still hook in.
That's what the big objective is.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to hurt the little guy. And that's the whole stickiness of this ordinance in general anyways. I understand it on both ways because it's a big brother issue. I understand. But as far as the public safety end of it, you know, we've solved a lot of crimes by doing this. Not
right.
just for us, but for other municipalities.
Right.
With stolen goods coming into our pawn shop.
I just think zero is just cast to be doing that. I'd rather see it worded. Leave the 35% and make it, I assume, once again, I shouldn't be assuming, but I assume $1 million would catch everybody we want to catch. Right?
If you're,
I don't know what they're, how much they bring in, but yeah, I would assume.
You could, Bart should know.
I think my wife probably spends $1 million in Target annually, so I think.
Do we think this will prohibit them from doing that? Their current acts, or do we think that they will object to the ordinance?
Myself, personally, I'm kind of surprised they're doing it. You know, because they really have a good loss prevention section, and they're really serious about their retails. And I would imagine this is probably going to bring the clientele in that's going to do retail thefts.
They're going to drop out the phone, get the gift card, go through the store, steal half the stuff, and then use their gift card in something nominal, hope they don't get caught. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to put the police paranoia on it, but...
No, I agree with you. That's exactly what's going to happen.
You know, but there's a reason why they're doing it, because they're going to resell that stuff and they're going to make money off of it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I would like to see it. I don't. What's the timeline on this?
I know they're pushing for it, but I think we got time. I don't think there's an urgency to do this.
Okay.
We can go back and research it with Bart.
Just, you know, the number doesn't have to be a million. It could be a quarter million. It could be whatever. I mean,
right. Small
mom and pop stores are not going to have gross annual sales of $500,000 in Yorkville, you know.
Well, see, the thing is, too, is we don't want to target, like, the AT&T store that trades in things.
Right.
I bring my old phone in and they get a new one.
Yeah, because that was my initial concern, but then it's noted in here that they're excluded.
Right.
That they're not part of this.
Right. If you're bringing in like a trade-in that your previous phone, you know, that's not what we're trying to target here.
Yeah. So any of the authorized dealers in town.
Right.
They're exempt.
Yeah, so you got to bring the bulk electronics in and give the gift cards.
Well, question. Target does sell those. They are authorized dealers of several of the brands.
Yeah. So if we exempt authorized dealers, aren't we exempting Target?
Does that then
No, because that phone section, I think, is different in there. I think that phone section is...
I think it is a...
It's like a subcontract.
It's kind of like the Pizza Hut that's in the front of it.
Yeah.
They're in Star Wars, they're operated independently under a contract.
Yeah. It's
a private
contractor basis.
If we know that for certain, that'd be one thing. But if it's not,
I don't know if we're allowed to do this. This is a Kathy question, to be quite frank. But couldn't we just straight up name them? Anyone under 35% or Target?
I don't have a problem with that.
If it's legal, can't we just name them instead of trying to figure out ways to word it to make sure we get Target, but not anybody else?
I don't know. That almost sounds then like you're discriminating.
That's why we got it. That's why I said it's a Kathy question.
Well, then you get hooked for whatever reason. There's people pounding on the door right now, but if you get, like, say, Walmart, now you'd have to rewrite it all again to include them.
Right, just amend the ordinance and add Walmart.
Right.
Right, I get it.
Yeah, it's any place then that comes in and actually has that as a second.
I would say you want to blanket it with a nominal figure.
Yeah.
Probably you're right about the $1 million, $500,000.
Yeah, I don't think we can put anybody's specific name in there. That would not. I don't think it'd be appropriate to do that.
Right.
No, I don't think Kathy would like that.
All right, so we'll bring that one back to the next meeting.
Yeah. All right. Very controversial Public Safety 2018-19. The repealing of the licensing of bicycles.
I believe this was repealed at one time.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is we revamped our codes years ago. I think it slipped back in. Because I know this because 25 years ago, I was the bike officer. I had a...
I remember the shorts.
Yes.
I remember the shorts.
I had a... I had
You're going to remember that for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
I had a book that I had to log in all the bike numbers and who owned them and the addresses. And when we were a town of 2,500 people, it was a good thing to do because we could, you know, if we found a bike down by the river, we could just take it home for the kid.
Right.
You know, and that was awesome. But it got to be overwhelming and very time consuming. So I thought we got rid of it like 20 years ago. But I think when we revamped the codes, I think it slipped back in somehow. But there is no way possible that we have the manpower or the time to do this.
I'd say we have a lot of illegal bikes up there because I didn't even know it was on the books again.
I think in residential neighborhoods we should have it required for motorized scooters.
With that said, anybody object to this going on consent?
No, the lawn businesses in my neighborhood would be upset.
Yeah.
They use the motor scooters to blow the leaves around when they're...
Did they?
Yes, they
Oh, yeah, you've never seen that? Like, have you had those,
The ones that, it's the wide with the two wheels on the side?
Yeah.
The Segway kind of thing?
But it doesn't have the handle.
Not a Segway, no.
I don't even know what it's called. Basically, like a small Segway.
Hoverboards.
Yeah, the hoverboards.
Really?
Yeah,
they
just stand
run their
blower
down boat. The sidewalks of the street and...
God forbid you get exercise.
Right.
Anyway,
it's faster.
I weep for the future.
Right.
All right, so we can put that in consent. Anybody object?
Consent.
Consent it is. All right, the actual very important public safety 2018-20, the contract for Comcast fiber optics contracts and Com Connection. Rich, you want to?
This is a really important one. I apologize about the timeliness on this. There's a couple factors in play here. Because of this meeting being tonight, this has to go on under the mayor's report, I believe, on Tuesday. And the reason why it's coming to you, we were initially under the belief that this was going to be under the dollar amounts. We did not have to come to council. Twofold problem. There was some knowledge, institutional knowledge that I left when Larry retired on this. And KenCom is switching over to the Tyler New World CAD system in December. Right now, we are on Tyler New World just for reporting only, which goes through the sheriff's office. And with the upgrade to the CAD, KenCom is taking over the entire New World system, which is our reporting for all our police agencies and our computer-aided dispatch and our squads. The current T1 line that Plano and Oswego and us, I'm not 100% Oswego, but Plano and us use, will be turned off when this happens. We have to go to a...
December 31st, right?
It's like the 17th is what they're shooting for. 12th is what they're shooting for now. Oh. But that can change. But basically the 12th, we've got the contract in front of you is the same issue that Plano has, the same dollar amount. We initially thought that we could have a 2-year contract, which would not require council approval because of the dollar amount. But the issue was, Comcast thought the building was already capable for the fiber optics. It's not. The reason we have to go to the 3-year is to get the free hookup for fiber optics.
And it's my understanding if we stay with the 2-year contract and pay for the hookup, it's in essence, we're paying for that 3rd year but not getting service.
Correct. They only would give us a 1-year quote, and we just got it.
This is Lucas Potter.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Thank you for having me.
But he's got the copy of the 1-year quote here. But I apologize on the timeliness on it again. We thought initially we were going to be able to get this through without the approval of the council. Obviously, if we don't get the hookup by December.
So instead of $1,000 a month, it's $2,600 a month.
If we go with the 1-year, I believe it is. So, I mean,
good Lord.
It's definitely, they're giving us 1 month free out of it, too. It's a 37-month contract for $3,600.
Right. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's a short turnaround, this, but we need to get it on the agenda Tuesday because it needs to move forward because...
Yeah, because they've got to do the installation and all that. I did get an email today from Carrie. She did check to see what the quote is from Metronet, which would be the only competitor. They would not give her a quote. From what I understand, Oswego's got them as a backup. And down the road, we'll look into that when they do get back to us as a backup only. But
we don't have Oswego money.
No. And they got a new building
that's wired up. Oswego doesn't have Oswego money.
And they got a building that's wired up for fiber optics.
It better be.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they forgot to do that at the new department? All right.
Is this budgeted?
No.
None of it?
None of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I left KenCom, when I switched over, we were in the process of going through the demos. So this is 2 years ago. So I know what we were looking at on the new world and going through the upgrades. Since I've been off of KenCom, how did we miss this in the cost? I mean, how did KenCom miss it? How did we miss it? How did anybody? We've had several costs. We knew we'd have maintenance agreements on the software. We knew we'd have the software fees. How do things like this get through and we don't catch that a T1 line is not going to be sufficient anymore? I mean, this is something, I don't know if it's Tyler.
Did we know 2 years ago that the T1 line would not be sufficient?
And that's what I don't know. That's what I want to know.
We did not know 2 years ago. I think our representative that goes to the exec board meetings was not going to those meetings. I think it's part of the issue. And I say, there was some institutional knowledge that left when Larry retired. But I found out about this probably about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That when I was made aware of it, and like I say, it was like, hey, it's going to be one of those issues. It's no big deal. It came out after last year's budget. It's in this year's already, so.
Because if you were under 20, you know, you can authorize it and it'd be good, but the fact it's a three-year,
right.
We have 30.
We thought we were going to be under the 20. We thought we were going to be under the council, and it is in next year's budget. But for this year's, you know, I like see, it's probably been about 5 or 6 months since I was made aware of that.
What portion is in this year's budget? How much of a budget amendment would be needed?
I think we've got the funds in the overall to cover it.
So it's there. Yeah. We're going to basically just reappropriate from this year's budget.
It's going to run the line item on dues and subscriptions way above further than what it is now. But with in my budget, with the three officers we're down and everything else, I'm probably going to come in a couple $100,000 under my budget.
So we won't need a budget amendment.
But you said dues and subscriptions. This is a service. Yeah. It's actually the internet connection that we're getting. Mm-hmm. We're not getting a piece of hardware. It's a program. Is that going to go under dues and subscriptions or? I just want to make sure we're coding it correctly because I raise that in admin every time that we get
That's part of the problem because everything goes between training, dues and subscriptions, and then services. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes all around. It's kind of on how Rob codes them out and what he does with them.
Okay.
Whichever one it comes out of is fine with me.
It's kind of like our network maintenance, those kind of things. That should be, you know, it's probably in those. That realm of making sure it's in the right line.
Frankly, Rob will put it in the right line.
Right.
Well,
I just care that we don't have to amend the budget and add more money to it.
Right. Which we're fine.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously, it's not it's not budgeted because we didn't know it was there.
Right. But it's budgeted for next year.
Yes.
Right. So it's budgeted for the 3 years going out, and then this will be an ongoing.
Yes.
We just don't know what it'll be after the third year.
This will already be pre-programmed in from now on.
Yeah. You don't have the option to not do it once you're doing this.
No. And I know the budget so far, we're online, we're going to be under probably about $200,000, $250,000. So, I mean, we're... Yeah, but there is one blessing about losing three officers.
You got a little wiggle room.
Yeah, I've got some wiggle room in the budget right now.
Now, last question. Mm-hmm. For the Tyler, for this upgrade, are there any other snakes in the grass?
You know, that's the problem when you go to a new system. You just don't know sometimes until you get in there.
Yeah.
You know, I know
Tyler's that done this. They're big enough. They should have caught this. They know that we're dealing with multiple agencies. Yeah. Should have been caught. And I don't know.
You know, it's just some of the other agencies are jumping through hoops with their reporting systems with dictation. And you just don't know if all of a sudden one of our computers next year isn't going to be compatible with an upgrade with this.
Right, and I know we get the time. That's why we build in for our police upgrades. We've got $2,000 for the squad cars in there in case something doesn't work in compatibility-wise. But, I mean, this is a bigger one that we're now under the gun because obviously it's got to get installed before they cut the line because when they go live, if our system's not in place, we're not connected.
Right.
And if we delay everybody, I don't know what Tyler's terms are for the contract. I mean, I've read through part of their contract, but...
I bet you it's a little more than $1,000 a month.
Yeah, I mean, we're still paying as a group to KenCom, even if it's not turned on.
Right.
But they have it scheduled for when they're coming out, they're making the transition. So if we delay them, I can imagine who's going to pay the time for them to come back out a different time.
It's not going to be good. But I know they had training the last 2 days that we had two people at.
Mm-hmm.
To help this transition go through, and you know, whenever you make a big change like this, you know, it's just.
And I know
you kind of cross your fingers and hope when they plug it in and turn it on, everything works. You know.
All right, put it on the mayor. I'm okay putting it on the mayor's agenda, and we can discuss it further at council under the agenda item, obviously.
Yeah.
But as long as there's no budget amendment and it's covered, and it's unfortunate it happened this way, but it's got to get done. So, I'm good with it.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, gotta do it.
Chris?
I mean, it is what it is. We have no way around it.
That's 3.5 votes for going out to council.
I wish we would have been able to see some other numbers, no offense.
That's 3.25 votes. 3.25 votes.
Yeah, I was really surprised MetroNet wouldn't give us a quote.
And I know that they're working on their rollout of the city, too, but they have us fine. That goes through here anyways.
Good. In 3 years, when we get a new quote, we'll keep them on.
Absolutely. Fair enough.
All right.
It's just to interject here, the 37 months, there's a 1 month free.
Yeah, I saw that on both of them.
So it's a 36,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Just one.
All right, PS 2018-21, our meeting schedule for the year. I think quarterly has worked this year. We always know we're on call in case something comes up that we need to address. We can always schedule a special meeting.
The same Thursday as the homecoming parade again, are we?
Probably October 3rd.
Well, it depends. Sometimes it hits mid-October, sometimes late September. Could ask the former quarterback. He's over here.
The glory days.
Yeah. Sometimes we should go back.
The only thing I would ask with our schedule for the reports, can we get them still monthly and just have an email sent out on a monthly basis for the reports as compared to reviewing them 3 months?
Can we just put
the
them
stats?
On?
Yes, the statistics, the overtime, those. I like to see those just to see what types of trends there are.
Would it be a big deal to put it on the city council for informational?
However we do it. I just think after 3 months, some of that data becomes irrelevant if there's an issue that we want to look at in terms of...
Instead of throwing it on the city council every other meeting, why don't you just email it to the four committee members?
And that's what I think would be.
And if something pops up that's an issue,
we can talk about it or schedule
an additional business.
That way.
But then that's something that they have to put on the agenda and attach to the packet every single time.
Do you guys want the adjudication reports too?
I mean,
up to you guys. We get weekly.
If you're doing it, you're doing them weekly. They're already there. Just do it the monthly.
Just once a month. You don't have to send it.
You guys already have them because you're doing it.
Right. We get an adjudication report after every hearing. So but I can just have them tally them up for you for the month. So
the monthly would be great. Gives us another set of eyes instead of having to look at it
every 3 months.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And if we cancel the meeting, then it's 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
It's good to look at them. Just keep an eye on them.
No problem.
All right. So at this point, do we have any old business? Any additional business?
Budget season's coming up. We've got our budget meeting coming up here on the 10th, I believe. Kind of questionable. I might not be there for the meeting. I might be out of town. I got my middle son. He's down in Oklahoma. You see our priorities from last year were municipal building needs and planning, traffic control, vehicle replacement. One of the things I was talking about in our pre-meetings already is our priorities for the last several years have been vehicles and people, kind of vehicles a little more ahead of people. And we've been doing very good on the vehicles this year. So far we've gotten 3 vehicles that were not budgeted for, that money was found, and it looks like we're going to get a 4th. It would be questionable whether that's going to be a patrol vehicle or a admin vehicle. We got a couple of admin vehicles that are older that we're going to get rid of. So it's leaning towards probably an admin vehicle right now. But I told Bart, with our vehicles getting somewhat caught up, they're not where they should be, but we're in a lot better shape than we were a couple of years ago, that I'm shifting more to people. But as I brought up before, when we start shifting to people, now we got to start talking about building needs because we've already outgrown this building. We got to start talking about some of the... civilian employees that we have let go that we've never replaced. Currently, we're down an office supervisor and a full-time secretary, and we're also down the full-time civilian that managed our vehicle fleet and our building needs. So that's all starting to come back into play. It's very complicated. It's just not like to add 3 people. But I told Bart next year that I would like to get 3 people, 2 for sure. Maybe the one you were talking about, the floater, is what I would call that.
And by 3 people, you mean civilian employees?
No, I'm talking
to the officers.
Officers at this point.
Okay.
But the problem is, and I told Bart that we've got flexibility when it comes to part-time people, that if I could bring out a couple more part-time office secretaries, that may fill that gap. But, when we start putting training and money into people, I know there's legacy costs when it comes to bringing out full-time people, but you really need that institutional knowledge if you want to train them and get them done right. So I've been filling the gap for years now with part-time people in that front office, and we're going to have to start talking in another year or two down the road that it's probably better to bring in a couple of full-time people.
How many part-timers do we have?
We usually have between 3 and 4, and some of them work more, some work less.
Are they all credentialed?
They've all worked full time either with right. us or another agency before.
So they, yeah. with us, they have credentials, so they can actually be put onto.
Yeah, they do a lot of the part time people. They focus more on answering the phones, answering okay. the front window. They may do some ticket entries because they're fairly simple.
So in that case, we could be yeah. even more efficient if we had a civilian doing that duty instead of having a.
Yeah. If we had full time people, then we could let them get into the New World system. A lot of times we don't let our part-time people into New World because that's just opening a lot of trouble for somebody who's got part-time,
part-time knowledge. Or
yeah, because they can look into the police reports of Montgomery, Oswego, Plano, Kendall County, and sometimes you get people that may have friends that are family members in trouble, and they're
curious.
Yeah, they're a part-time employee. If they get fired, it's nothing in the world.
And those people who are also part-time may be floating between other communities as well. Correct?
Exactly.
Do we have any? Do we know that they're floating?
We have one full-time secretary that was working part-time at Oswego, and it used to be the other way around. She worked full-time at Oswego and part-time for us.
Okay.
And I don't believe she's worked there in a long time. But right now, we have one part-time employee that works at Wabansi at the college full-time. Not in the police world, but, yeah. And we have a former full-time secretary that semi-retired and was part-time for, so he does not work in any other agencies.
Okay. I'll say, on your budget discussion in general, I've been a huge proponent of the first item we have, the building needs and planning. I know what we need, generally, but I want to know how we're going to pay for it.
That's the problem.
That's what I want with the plan, and I've been pushing for that for 2 years now, to get us a plan that says, this is what we need, and then this is how we can pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, as we all know, this building, when it was built in 2000, we went through four police departments in 4 years before we came to rest here. And this building was a temporary facility for the police department. We were supposed to be in here for 3 to 5 years, and the city was going to take over the whole building. And we were going to build our new building. And up to the time when the economy crashed, we were in the planning process. We had plans drawn up. We had the location set, and we were literally a month or two to the point of no return when the economy actually crashed. I'm not saying we're keeping up with the Joneses because of our neighboring communities, what they've done. You know, Plano, Oswego, and Montgomery, they've all got newer facilities and buildings. We're way past due, and I still have a problem when we're bringing registered sex offenders into the school library campus. You know, I've been saying that for years and years in the meetings.
Yeah.
I just have a problem with that. I think that...
But we all should have a problem with that.
I know that the priorities are with the city the way they are, and you know, we have limited funds, and you know, I understand it's just hard to do that, but we got to keep that in mind. That if we do get to the point where we can really start moving forward with this, you know, when we start setting our priorities and goals, that that's something that we need to, when the time comes, we need to move.
Is the bank building even an option to retrofit that thing for a police station?
That was talked about.
We got a building sitting in downtown Yorkville, which is a great location for visibility with it. What?
We got an old jail.
Hey, we started.
I'm gonna pretend I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, that's not even an option.
But we have have this building that we bought. It's a perfect location, plenty of parking,
being
right
used
downtown
currently for just recreational needs.
That's been brought up since that bank closed years ago, and I know under the previous administration it was looked into, and you know that would be a good location. It'd have to be retrofitted all that, but I mean there's plenty of parking there, and you know that would fit us for another 20 years or so probably. And,
I mean, I think that was kind of the whole mentality of when we bought that building. It was either City Hall moves downtown to that building and this entire building becomes a police station.
Or
the other way around, right? And just on the sex offender issue alone, I probably want this whole entire building to be City Hall and the bank to be the police station.
I want a facility for a police department that's going to be secure, safe, and not create more problems. If an officer comes out of here at 40 miles an hour to get to a scene, it's not the right environment.
I mean, that's right on the main thoroughfare, right downtown, visible to the public. I mean, I think we need to take a serious look at retrofitting that building. And even if it buys us 20 years, okay, well, it's 20 years.
Well, if it's done in the right way, it could become further city offices at that point, too.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and here's the issue. I know under...
Man, I drive by and there's yoga class in the morning going on in our beautiful downtown location. Yeah. Nothing against yoga, but we need
Did
a police department.
Talk to you. I heard a great story about a police department that was running out of space, and what they did is they started creating satellites. Did I talk to you about this one?
Creating satellites?
Satellite offices.
Yeah, that
resource officers, at the high school we have our officer there, but what they did is they were able to work with the districts and create, maybe it's a 500 square foot office, just an office in each of the schools, and it allows any officer a spot to facilitate, prevented them from having to build a new facility. It basically, for the outfitting of a small space, gives the visibility of a officer potentially at a space, but it also saves a space because they have dedicated connections. Because we know that between all the schools and the hub, there is actually a fiber network between the district and here, so that there actually is a network that we can maybe even tap into for connectivity of systems. So if somebody's got to get to a hardline computer as compared to their squad.
I don't think the school's going to give us a... Well, at each one of their schools.
Maybe it's a middle school, the high school they would do that, or maybe just Bristol Bay, it's an option. I wouldn't be opposed to putting that as a non-option. I think anything we can do...
I think it's an option, but I don't think it's a solution to the problem that we have.
No, right? Not at all. Right. But it may be an option. Our city is so long and spread out. Oswego, they have half of the land mass. They cover so much more territory so much more quickly than us. We are so far divided between our resources and our responsibility. It might be an option.
We did have a satellite office at one time years ago. It was over in the apartments off of 126. We had received grant money for it. It never worked out. And then we also moved. We had a small office in the businesses over there by Roadhouse. Remember that? Just like a couple months.
Yeah, I actually remember that.
Yeah, we had a small office in a business front, and we tried to direct people down there for reporting issues from the south side. Nobody ever showed up there. They always wanted to come to their apartment. The only time it ever really worked for us if the officers wanted to go eat lunch there and stay away from the bosses up here. Yeah, it worked out pretty good for them there, and they could do some reports there. But
I guess the only thing a satellite office would provide relief for is, let's say City Hall has to move downtown, and this has to be
renovated
for the police department.
Right.
The satellite office would be this registered sex offender office.
So, I mean,
right?
There,
so
there's
options. Come here.
Right.
It may be an opportunity, but I'll say what you're doing here, Rich, is what I wanted. I wanted to take our budget discussions committee level first and talk about what each department kind of needs. I think it's a good opportunity for us to just chat before it gets to the bigger presentation meetings. I'd be willing to talk about this in the admin too, so we can get the ball rolling on that planning, because we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it.
That's the problem.
I think it's a lot cheaper to pay for a retrofit than...
Right, but we still need to figure it out.
The Taj Mahal over there.
I think all the elected officials would be 100% behind it. It's just the money. And I've talked to a lot of the elected officials one-on-one about this over the years, and they're like, we'd do it right now if we had the money to do it.
Absolutely. We would.
It is a priority.
And to that point, Grella, the retrofit can be very expensive.
Yeah.
But it's not that we're already paying for the building, because we are. We don't have to acquire if we use the bank. It's just two separate costs for that, but... Either way,
the building's on a 3-year payment. So it's paid off in 3 years. We've already had.
But it's still $1 million that.
Right. But it's not like we have a 20-year bond on this building that we're going to be paying in this building.
Which makes a big difference, absolutely.
That's a huge difference.
Well, a year
and a half, it's paid off.
So I think it'd be good if we start talking about that. Because the municipal needs, that's all of them. Because we know Public Works needs a couple buildings. I know Parks and Rec would like some more buildings, but. That's not the primary service we have. People like parks, people like the recreation. We need to keep a good, healthy community. We have some other priorities, I think, trump that.
Yeah.
But I don't know where the needs and planning assessment they did on all the buildings last year. But I know that was one of the starts to that.
That was their building conditions,
right.
Which is good. I think the next step is, what does each department actually need? So Public Works, what do they need for all their maintenance, what do they need for storage supplies, etc. Police department, what do you need for, you know, future growth for 25 years, what size building, what type of resources, and go on down the line through each and every department, figure out how much that's going to cost, and how are we going to pay for it, and what's the priority.
When's our goal setting meeting?
We're in October.
November 10th.
November 10th.
Okay. So, yeah, it's November 10th, and I'm going to try to do the best I can do either, but I just don't
think we need to think that.
Yeah, this is
bring this stuff up.
This one has moved up slightly. Last year I gave this one a top priority for myself because I wanted to bump it a little bit, and it did. I'm hoping it makes it up to the top so we can really get some serious conversations about doing this. So.
Like I say, I just want to let you know my big priorities this year between peoples and vehicles is kind of shifting to people now.
Yeah.
And then to the vehicles, and like I said before, it's going to create future problems, you know, with the building space and the civilian personnel too, so.
And I do want to see more of a community outreach with our officers. Yeah, that engagement is so
I like that they
so
just
important.
Had that stuff this week, and it was nice, you know, yep. Facebook presence, and yep. You guys were out there. And
it's so important to get them out there with the public.
I would like to get back to what we used to do.
Yep.
We used to be really, really good at that.
I have enough officers, you can't do it.
Right. Yeah. Anything else in the new business? No, we are adjourned. Yeah.